So the Lord told Solomon that he could ask for whatever he wanted. I wonder what you would have asked, given the same opportunity. Solomon asked for a discerning heart. This pleased the Lord because of what Solomon did not ask for a long life, for wealth, for death of his enemies. In verse 12 we read, I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. The Lord also promised to give Solomon the things he did not ask for. Wealth and honor and a long life if he would keep the Lord's decrees and commands. You'll note that Solomon was a young man at the time. In fact, he referred to himself as a little child. Some say that he may have been 20 years old, although the Jewish encyclopedia suggests that he was 12 or 13. And that fits more with what he said is to the Lord, that he was but a little child. So I would especially like to address the young men here today in the same way that I answered my grandson Levi. I'll let you determine if you're a young man or not. I know many of you in your 40s still think that you're young men. And I wouldn't agree with that. I wouldn't disagree with that. I kept thinking that I was a young man until around age 55, then I had to finally give up. But whatever your age, I'm sure we can all learn from the wisest man who ever lived, because his wisdom was given to him from the Lord. I'm going to skip around Proverbs and read verses from my notes, so don't feel that you have to keep up with me. I'll be happy to give you a copy of my notes if you're interested later. In response to my grandson Levi, I went through Proverbs, picked out what I thought were main themes. But the overriding theme of the book of Proverbs, of course, is wisdom. Beginning in chapters 1, verses 2 and 3, we read, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. That's the theme of the book of Proverbs. What a great introduction to a book. Who wouldn't want to know wisdom and instruction? Who wouldn't want to understand words of insight? To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Equity implies fairness when dealing with others. And then verses 4 and 5, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. It's okay to be simple. That doesn't mean simple-minded. Remember, Solomon said that he was but a child. And to learn discretion, to be discerning, to have good judgment, that's what Solomon wants to teach us. So let the wise hear and increase in learning. Notice that the reason for hearing is to increase in learning. If we hear and soon forget what we heard, it's of no value to us. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The source of wisdom is from the Lord. That's where Solomon received his wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." So, young men, pay no attention to men's wisdom if it contradicts what you know the Bible to say. Their worldly wisdom, as logical as it might sound, is foolishness to God. So I'm going to go through some of these categories that I thought I found and share some verses with you. The first is the fear of the Lord. I think this is the most important theme that I found, and the one which Solomon tells us is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is insight." What does it mean to fear the Lord? Are we to be afraid of the one who loves us? We're told that Martin Luther had struggled with that concept. And this is the solution he came up with: to make a distinction between servile fear and filial fear. Servile fear is the anxiety that someone feels when he's frightened about what another person might do to him. It's the kind of fear that a prisoner of war might feel about how his captors might abuse him. On the other hand, filial fear is that fear which a child might have of his father. I like to think of the fear of my heavenly father in the same way that I feared my earthly father. I knew that there was nothing I could do that would have caused him to love me less. But I also knew if I was disobedient, there would be undesirable consequences, which I didn't want to experience. But also I loved him. I didn't want to cause him grief by displeasing him. So I think that's the type of fear that we have of the Lord. Proverbs 10:27 tells us, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." Remember, the Lord promised Solomon a long life if he would keep the Lord's decrees and his commandments. We know that after Solomon became rich and famous, that he no longer followed the Lord's decrees and commands. Did he have a long life? There seems to be no consensus as to how long Solomon lived. But he reigned for 40 years. So depending on how old he was when he began to reign, he probably died before he was 60. Perhaps he'd have been in his early 50s. That wasn't a very long life by Old Testament standards. The Lord always keeps his word. Do you wish to have a long life? Fear the Lord, not just in your youth, but for the remainder of your life. Proverbs 15:16 tells us, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Here again is the contrast between seeking riches or seeking the wisdom that comes from God. Can we see from Solomon's example that seeking the wisdom from God doesn't necessarily exclude the blessing of riches? But it's of utmost importance that seeking wisdom from God is our priority in life. The next heading that I suggested was trust in the Lord. We all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. This is a verse that most of us learn at an early age. But it's also one that we often ignore on a daily basis. When we think that our understanding of a situation will lead us to the desired results, we often forget to trust the Lord, to ask for His wisdom. When we do this, we miss out on the blessing that the next verse promises. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." The King James translation says, "He shall direct thy paths." I rather prefer that translation, for in my experience, my paths have not always been straight, at least as I saw them. In fact, they were quite circuitous. But I am confident in all of those twists and turns that the Lord was directing my paths. So we have a choice. We can trust the Lord to make our paths straight, or we can stumble through life relying on our own understanding. Think about that. Every man can attest to the fact that relying on his own understanding has not always worked out to his advantage. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are two verses that we should not only hear, but apply to our daily lives. And then Proverbs 20:22 says, "A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way?" That verse is special to me because the Lord brought it to my attention when I came to North Idaho to interview for a job with Hecla Mining Company in 1979. I sincerely believe that the Lord has planned the steps that we will take from ages past. We will have lived in North Idaho for 38 years this month, over half of my life. For those of you doing the math, I'm not yet 76. But the Lord has continuously blessed our lives and directed the lives of our sons and our grandchildren as a result of planning my steps. The next category that I pointed out to Levi was to honor your father and mother. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Believe it or not, your parents' instructions are meant to improve your chances for success. I'm looking at the guys up on the balcony there. They might not always be right, but you should carefully and prayerfully consider their advice before making your decisions. Why? Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Note that Solomon is addressing his son, tells him that if he doesn't forget his father's teaching, that he will live a long and peaceful life. I assume that everyone here would like to live a long and peaceful life. How about you older men? Many of you are living a long life. Is it also peaceful? I'm sure that many of us could testify to the fact that the Lord has given us a peaceful life. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Think about how your decisions are going to reflect on your parents. Will they make them proud that you're their son, or conversely cause them grief? Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Young men, don't be stupid. Accept discipline, whether it's from your parents or from the Lord, knowing that it is meant for your good. The next category I had here was to avoid bad influences. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Especially as a young man, you'll be confronted with many temptations to turn from the Lord to your own desires. These temptations often come through so-called friends. Isn't it interesting that we're all sinners? Your friends don't have to be unbelievers to lead you astray. In fact, your own heart can lead you astray. But the instruction is to not consent when you know your actions will result in sin. Proverbs 4:27, do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. When we sin against God, we do so deliberately. Unfortunately, that happens to all of us. But when we sin, we need to confess our sin immediately and get back on the straight path. The next heading I had here was humility. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Because the Lord gifts us with intelligence and abilities, it's easy for us to be proud of our own accomplishments. We can readily forget that all the good gifts come from the Father above. Without him, we're literally nothing. Listen to your own speech and that of others. Is your favorite topic talking about yourself, giving your opinion on every matter? Or do you sometimes, or even often, think of others? That's a good test of how humble you are. Pastor Steve spoke on Sunday from Philippians chapter 2. The last phrase in verse 3 says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Note the word there, count. Of course, all others in reality are not more significant than you are. But Paul's instruction is to exercise your will to think of everyone as more important than you. That is humility. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Think of someone who you think is worthy of honor. Perhaps it's your dad or mom or your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, just a friend. Would you say that they are humble? That is probably why you consider them worthy of honor. Humility comes before honor. Proverbs 29:23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. So there are two promises in that verse. If you're prideful, the Lord is going to bring you low. If you're humble, you'll be honored before God and before man. So it's your choice. This is the word of the Lord. Be certain that he's always true to his word. The next category I had was generosity. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. And that command is followed by a promise. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. The thought here is that whatever the Lord blesses you with, you should recognize the source of your blessing by giving back to him a portion before using the remainder for yourself. Do you think that you can't afford to give the Lord a portion of your income? Judging from these verses, I would suggest that you can't afford not to. Remember that it is Solomon writing these instructions to whom it is written. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Just before that passage that we read in 1 Kings 3, we see that Solomon offered thousands of burnt offerings to the Lord. Solomon was a very generous man. Proverbs 11:24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So practice generosity. Obviously, this is not only for the young men, this is for all of us here. It's a true saying that one cannot outgive the Lord. He's promised to bless us for our generosity. Next, let's see what Solomon has to say about honesty and integrity. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is your power to do it. Proverbs 21:3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than the rich man who is crooked in his ways. As sons of God, honesty and integrity are a reflection of his character. Not only will we meet with the Lord's approval, but we'll also have a clear conscience. And then for you young men, eventually you're going to be thinking about the possibility of a marriage and having a family of your own. Are you asking the Lord now to show you his choice for your lifetime mate? Or are you just checking out the best looking chicks? I think a lot of us could relate to that. Proverbs 19:14 says, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. If marriage is a future desire, then start today by asking the Lord for that prudent wife. Ask him to show you who she is, and then wait patiently for his answer. Patiently, did you hear that? Sometimes it doesn't come right away. She doesn't come right away. But the Lord has already chosen a woman for you who will be the love of your life. Look forward to the time when you will marry that woman. No other earthly relationship will be as fulfilling for you as the love that the two of you will share. If you'd like to turn to Proverbs 31, we'll read a few verses there. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. There are many older men here today that can testify to the truthfulness of those verses. I'll be the first to tell you what a blessing it is to have a wife who I can trust to do me good and not harm, who speaks wisdom with kindness. Young men, a godly wife will be your best counselor. When you're asking the Lord for the wife, for a wife, ask for one whose heart is beautiful toward Him. The Lord delights in giving good gifts to His children. Chances are that that beautiful heart will come in a body that you will also perceive as beautiful. The next heading that I had here was sexual purity. I hope that this goes without saying, but Solomon thought it worth warning his son of. In Proverbs 6:32, he said, "He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself." And in 33, he will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. Don't give in to the temptation to have sex before marriage or to have an adulterous relationship after marriage. The Word says that you will disgrace yourself. You will regret either one for the rest of your life. Instead, practice love. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Proverbs 11:17. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Be known for the love that you show to others. A strong man is a man who loves and shows his affection toward others. Most of you young men have fine examples in your fathers. How do you express yourself? Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Consider your words. Consider how your words will affect others before speaking. We long remember words spoken to us, whether encouraging or hurtful. I'm sure you can all think of examples of words spoken to you that either hurt or encouraged you. I can think clear back to my childhood and think of such words. You would think that we would forget that by now, but we don't. So be careful what you're saying to others. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Isn't that interesting? The one who keeps silent is thought to be wise. Learn that it's not necessary to express your opinion in every conversation. Express it when it will benefit those to whom you are speaking. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut and people think that you're wise. Proverbs talks about wealth. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gains little by little will increase it. We often hear of sports personalities who have made big money, or people who won a large sum in the lottery who later filed bankruptcy. Wealth is accumulated through consistent saving, little by little. Learn this lesson early in life, and later in life you'll become wealthy by most people's standards. Proverbs 27:23, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. Few of us will have flocks or herds, but know what assets you have and manage them wisely. And then listen to others. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people fails, but in an abundance of counselors there is safety. In Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. So seek, not only seek, but consider the advice of others. No man has all the answers. If you think that you do, the Lord calls you a fool. I'm winding down here, incidentally. There's also more than one admonition in Proverbs concerning alcohol. Proverbs 20:1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs 21:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Is it sinful to drink alcohol? I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. Is it unwise? I would say definitely. If you never experiment with alcohol, you can be sure that you will never be disgraced because of it. So in summary, the Lord told Solomon that he could ask for whatever he wanted. I wonder what you and I would ask for if given the same opportunity. Think about that. Do you want riches? Do you want to be famous? Actually, we have that opportunity. we look at John 15, verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There it is, the same opportunity that the Lord gave Solomon, he gives to us. If you're a believer in Christ, you have his Holy Spirit living within you. If you abide in him, and that's the preface to the promise here. If you abide in him and let his words abide in you, then you can ask what you will, and he's promised to do it. Also, I would suggest that if you're abiding in him, that what you ask for will be pleasing to him. So is God's word, which we heard this morning, going to make a difference in your life? I know how this works. You're going to leave here glad that you had a good breakfast and good fellowship. And by next Saturday, you'll be fortunate to remember what the topic was this morning. So I'd like to suggest a homework assignment for you. You won't have to turn it in or take a test. This will be on the honor system. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, one for every day of the month, and an extra one or two for some months. Try reading one chapter a day. You can read the chapter that corresponds to the day of the month. Then pick out one thought from that chapter that speaks to your heart. And then meditate on that chapter throughout the day. If you read scripture at night as I do, then meditate on your thought of the day during the next day. And further, for you fathers who still have sons at home, why not read a chapter of Proverbs a day with your sons? Let them pick out the thought that you can all meditate on, and then discuss it the next day. So, hear what Proverbs has to say, and don't only hear, but apply it to your lives.